Message called Global Snapshots, a little series. Today, are the end times our times? We looked at that message last week. We don't have time to revisit it, but we made three major points. In the end times, according to Jesus, and looking at current things, there's going to be global political deception. Number two, global dissension or wars and rumors of more wars coming. And number three, there's going to be global economic disaster, famines, pestilences, starvation. We learned last week that 80% of our world lives on less than $10 a day. Over 1 billion people out of 6.5 live on less than $1 a day. Amen? The 5% of the world lives on 95% of the money. 95% of the world lives on 5% of the money. And guess which percentage you're in? You're in the 95% that lives on 95%. Oh, you're in the 5% that lives on 95%. You got it? So even on your worst day, you're in the 5% of the world that lives on the 95% of the world's income and resources. Isn't that incredible? So we just can't be ones that whine, guys. We need to be people that praise God that we live in this great country and we have the opportunities that we have. Amen? Had a young man, he and I prayed a couple of weeks ago, and he'd been praying for quite some time as well and putting forth the effort, and he got him a job this week. He hugged my neck out front. Let's thank the Lord for that. Come on. It's where we live in America. Got another young lady over here. I was able to see her today, and 20 years old from Georgia. She got her a job. Let's go ahead and thank the Lord about that. Good things. That's where you live. In some countries, it wouldn't matter how many times you went to look somewhere because there isn't any place to look because everybody's starving to death in some of these remote places in our world. Amen. Thank God. Global snapshots. Let's take it a step further today. What will faith look like in the last days? What will faith look like in the end times? What's it going to look like when the end's drawing near? In faith, in Christianity, in religion. Let's look at it today. We're going to unpack some things. What about global religion? What about faith in all the earth? Luke 18, just a couple of scriptures. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, say it with me, shall He find faith on the earth? Will there be faith on the earth when Jesus comes? When the end times are here, will there be faith on the earth? That's what we're going to look at today. Just going to scratch the surface. I hope you'll stay with me. This is a message going to be pretty interesting. You'll give it the input on your end. The Word of God's going to come across today. Couple of scriptures before we get into it. 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4 both deal with things about the end times. Let's read a few of the scriptures. This know also that in the last days perilous times are coming. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, out of control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Say this verse with me. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So, that passage tells us that there's, in the last times there's going to be a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Just quickly, let's look at chapter 4. Not going to study it, just reading it, getting our direction a little bit this morning, where we're headed. 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time will come, the end time, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers or preachers having itching ears, or to tickle their ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the what? And shall be turned unto fables and stories. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. So, another thing that I saw in this little passage, they will not have and endure what? Sound doctrine. Let's go now. We're learning. What will faith be like in the last days? What will faith look like in the end times? We've been looking at some of Jesus' words. Let's go now back to the book of Revelation. Jesus told John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos to write certain things that he said. One of the big things that he told him to do was write seven letters to seven different churches. And they each carry different meaning. I believe you can learn a lot from these letters in the book of Revelation, but I believe the last two, I personally believe this, speak, well, they're certainly all of them are to churches. All of them are to churches. So churches can learn from every one of them. But I believe the last two speak of what the church will be like in the last days. Did y'all understand what I just said? I think the last two of the seven speak of what the church will be like in the last days. Not everybody agrees. I'm not saying this is everything these letters are saying. I believe that you can get that from this. This is what the church will be like in the last days, according to Jesus. Okay? And it lines up with things that we read in Timothy that we just read in different parts of the Scriptures. Let's go now. Keep your focus right here if you don't mind. Here we go, right here. So two snapshots, those last two churches. Let's look at them real quick. I'm not going to go crazy on them, but we're going to get us a foundation. Snapshot number one, the church at Philadelphia. The church at Philadelphia. There were seven churches. We're going to look at the last two, the church at Philadelphia, the church at Laodicea. Revelation 3:7, Jesus speaking. And to the angel of the church in what? Write. He told John, write what I'm telling you. These things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. Okay? Philadelphia, what does the word mean? How many are from Philly area? Can I see your hand? Okay, what does Philly mean? It's the city of what? Guess where that came from? You thought y'all made it up. No. It goes way back. It's in the Bible. It literally means that. Philadelphia. It means the love of brothers. Say that with me. The love of brothers. Does that sound like a good thing? Yes! It means the love of brothers. So, this church in the last days, I believe it was a literal church at the time John wrote the letter to them, but I believe it's a picture of church in the last days, my opinion. It means the love of brothers. Let's keep reading this letter. Don't go to sleep on me. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and you've kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown. Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Now just really quickly, what do we see this church represents? When you break the Scripture down, you see the positives inside of this letter. The church of Philadelphia means what? Brotherly love or the love of brothers. Do you mind saying it that way? The love of, it means I'm to love my brother. It means loving. So, in the last days, church of Philadelphia, loving. Loving. What good points did we see? There was no condemnation to this church. It mean they were perfect, but it meant he was seeing all the good and telling them. They were humble. They believed God's Word. They confessed Jesus Christ as what? As Lord. Faith-driven. Righteous and pure. And they were saved. Amen? So, that's a snapshot, I believe, of the church, a view of Christians in the end times. Loving, humble, believes God's Word, confesses Jesus Christ as Lord, faith-driven, righteous, and pure, and saved. Now, let's go to snapshot number two. That was the sixth of seven churches. Let's look at the seventh of the seven churches. The church at what? Say it with me. Laodicea. Now, what do you know about this church? You that have read your Bible through a few times know a little bit about this. God said to this church, I will do what to you? Say it with me. Spew out of my mouth. A lot of you knew that. Spew out of my mouth. That sound like a good thing? Revelation 3:14. And to the angel, Jesus speaking, of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he that's holy, he that's true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. Keep going. I know your works, that thou art neither what? Cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, say it with me. I will spew thee out of my mouth. Are y'all going to sleep on me? Please hang in here with me. Come on. Now, if Philadelphia literally means the love of brothers, Laodicea literally means the judging of others. The judging of others. We're talking about the church in the last days. Do you think the judging of other folks is a good thing, yes or no? You think that's our job as a church? To be judging other people, yes or no? No. And we try to guise it in this statement. Here's what we say. Yeah, I don't judge, but we can be fruit inspectors. How many have ever heard that? Have you ever heard that? And here's my response back to you. Then go get a job at Dole or something. You know, or some fruit plant. Okay? That's not our job as Christians. You understand? In the last days, this church, the judging of who? Of others. Would we be better off to judge others or judge ourselves? Say, would we be better off to judge others or judge ourselves? Look at what Jesus said. Because you say, I am rich, I am increased with goods, I have need of nothing. And you don't know that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. Jesus says, I counsel you to buy me some gold that's tried in the fire, that you may be rich. Get some real riches here. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. Okay, get you some real righteousness. And that the shame of your nakedness doesn't appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may what? That you may really see. Because you blind as a bat. Okay? What are we learning? Just a future snapshot of the church in the last days, end times. So what have we seen? The church of Laodicea means what? The judging of who? Others. Is judging yourself a good thing? Absolutely. We're not talking about, guys, that we don't have to make judgment calls. You know what I'm saying? That you choose who your friends are, that you're going to spend time with. There's all kinds of scriptures in the book of Proverbs that teaches all these kinds of things. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about judging other people, making yourself better than somebody else. You listening to me? All right? Putting them down. Putting them down. The kind of music at church they might have, or the kind of Bible they read, or they don't do it just like you do it. We do that all the time. You hear me? Yes or no? It's rampant in the church. It's insane. So in the last days, there's going to be what? Help me! The judging. And here's some little sub-points from what we saw, what we read. They'll be proud. They doubt or deny God's Word. Diminish Jesus Christ as being Lord. Money and power, what? Driven, unrighteous and sinful. And bottom line, so what have we seen in the last days, the future snapshots? It sounds like there's going to be a pure church, not perfect, but a remnant that believes, that loves, that's serious and sincere. Okay? But there's also going to be a church, a representation of many churches that are judging others. It's our way. Okay? Proud, money-driven, power-hungry. Y'all listening? Okay? Keep looking. So what will faith look like in the last days? We looked at the future. Now I'd like to get you to hang in here when you have got to wake up. Are you all right? You're going to really be upset if you don't hear what I'm saying right now. This took some serious work to find all this stuff. Current snapshots. Where is the church today? Where is religion today? What's happening, especially in America today and in our churches? Keep looking. First of all, global Christian and Muslim populations. The world Christian population continues to grow, but at a slower rate than Islam, according to statistics from a UK-based research institute. Christian research indicates that by the middle of last year, 2.14 billion people made up the world's Christian population. But wait a minute. Come on. Keep in mind, Christian population represents Protestants, say it with me, Catholics, and a myriad of other so-called Christian what? So of that 2.14 billion, there's a lot of stuff in that so-called Christian. You understand? Population of our world. In 2010, there were 1.6 billion Muslims. This number is expected to increase to 2.2 billion by the year 2030, according to the Pew Research Forum on Religion and Public Life. Little chart for you. Here it is. In the world, 1.6, it'll be 2.2 almost. Asia. See the growth. Middle East, growing. Africa, growing. Europe, growing. In America, of the whole chart, we're the only one that doubled. Islam in America by 2030. Keep looking. If current trends continue, say it with me, 79 countries will have a million or more inhabitants in 2030. Do y'all know how many years? We used to say 2030 like it was a gazillion years away. You know how many years away that is? Somebody take a wild guess. About 17, 18 years. How many think that's a long way off now? Yeah. Amen? That's just a look. The other religion that dominates today is Hinduism. Okay, over 1 billion. That's your world today. Are we living in the last days? Keep looking. But I'd like to bring it home where we live. Here we go. This is where we did a lot of research. Let's bring it home. We're going to bring it home to the church in America. Y'all ready? Say, come on. Say, let's bring it home. Let's bring it home. Here we go. Current polling. The latest polling that we could find. Barna surveyed 1,871 self-described Christians. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am a Christian. These guys weren't talking into being a Christian. They represent themselves as Christians. He did a survey with them. 47% of them believe that Satan is merely a symbol of evil, but he really doesn't exist. 49% believe that the Holy Spirit is only a symbol, not a living entity. This is your America. 41% of self-described Christians agree, listen, or somewhat agree, that the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon all teach the same thing. 4 out of 10. I want you to keep remembering what the church will be like in the last days according to those two churches we put up on the screen at the beginning. 52% of Americans agree that religions other than Christianity can lead you to eternal life. Does the Bible teach another religion can lead you to eternal life? No, the Bible, let's just say you're here today and you didn't know this. No. No way. Jesus said, I'm the way. Say it with me if you know it. The truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. For God so loved the world, help me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Got it? 35% believe that Jesus, while on earth, sinned. believe that he was just like you and I? Yes, he was. He came in flesh. But he was born of a virgin. His father was God. Okay? He was the pure, spotless Lamb of God slain for our sins. That's what the Bible teaches, guys. Y'all listening? Doesn't matter what you feel or what you feel like you should answer. That's the Bible. 40% say they do not have a responsibility to share their Christian faith with others. 40% of them. I have no obligation whatsoever to go to in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that what the Bible says we're to do? Is that what the Bible says? Absolutely. Am I to let my light so shine before men that they may see my good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven? Absolutely. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek, to everybody. Is that what the Bible says? Absolutely. Giving you a snapshot of where we are. Keep looking. One third of Americans under the age of 30 say that they have no religious affiliation whatsoever. None. Zero. None. And guess what? And overwhelmingly, they say they ain't looking for any. Don't want any. This is our world. And you know why they say it? And before I read it, believe it or not, because I'm not that bright, but I knew it. If you'd asked me right on a sheet of paper, why do they not want it? And why do they not want church? And why do they not want Christianity? I would have written down these four things on a sheet of paper and I'd have given them to you. Here they are. Money. Power. Politics. And rules. Four reasons right there. They don't want to come to church. Because you're going to beg for money. At Fellowship Church, let's check it out. Do we say here, if you can't give cheerfully, what? Keep it. And we mean that. We mean, even if it takes us longer to do things or we can't buy something we could use, I'd rather do that and you give cheerfully. Number two, power. We don't have a pecking order here at Fellowship Church. We don't hold elections at Fellowship Church to elect the most popular, the who, whatever, the most spiritual to whatever office. Okay? It's not in the Bible. Okay? They're servers and helpers and workers. That's what the word deacon means, believe it or not. Whether you agree with me or not, it doesn't matter. That's what the word means. It means serving. We have incredible servers here at Fellowship Church. Can we thank God for everybody that serves here? Come on. Praise God. Okay? But there's not something like that. Yeah, there has to be leadership and things have to get done and things have to get run. We understand that. But we try to fight against that. Y'all hear what I'm saying or not? Okay? Number three, politics. Politics. Now, we're talking about politics that happens in church, but also, here's what I want to say. Flat out politics. You're not going to hear me get on stage and tell you to go vote for Mitt Romney. Okay? Or Barack Obama. What I want to do is teach you the Word so that you can be grown enough and have enough sense to make good decisions. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying here? But politics and this and that and this and that. I tell you what, if more Christians had spent so much time on politics, spend on their knees in the Word of God, this would be a better country. You know what I'm saying? You're still looking for your Savior in some fella. Jesus is your Savior. The Word of God is your answer. You hearing me today? It ought to be a place where we can come and we can worship and without getting hit by flyers out front. We just don't do that. I get criticized for it. I'd like to reach people for Christ. Do y'all listen to me? Okay? I don't want him having to crawl over a bunch of mess to get to Jesus. We'd like Jesus to be paramount. Not that we're doing it all right all the time. I'm not trying to puff us up. I'm trying to say this has been in my mind for a long time. Rules. They don't come because of rules. Okay? And I don't think that they're saying that they don't come because of the Bible. They can't live any way they want to. I know a lot would feel that way. But I think a lot of times we make up stuff at church. Y'all listen to me. How you got to dress, how you got to look, how long your hair's got to be, whatever. You think Jesus just loved everybody? You think he died for everybody? All right. You see what I'm saying? We try to get them all fixed up first or something. What's up with that? Old song says, I catch them. God cleans them. Amen? Yeah. Anyway, four reasons why. And that's something we want to fight against here at Fellowship. You understand? Say, amen. Hey, guess what? It takes money. It takes, you know, leaders. It takes, you know, different things. I love our country. I want it to be the best in the world. You know, it takes rules. I know that. I've changed a lot of my behavior since I became a Christian. But it was since I became a Christian and I had God's Word. You see the difference? We got to work real hard at this. And even myself, there's so many things that I have to work at and have to say, wow, is that really important? Is that really what it's about, Gary? You don't really need to be saying it. Do you really? So I have to fight that. Y'all listen, did I lose you? Keep looking. Church closures in America and attendance. In America, 3,500 to 4,000 churches close their doors each year. Now, there are new ones starting. That's true. That's a lot closing, guys. Churches lose an estimated 2.7 million people a year to nominalism and secularism. Usual Sunday attendance has dropped in half since 1970 in this country, in 40-plus years. About 20% of Americans attend what? Religious services. Are our religious services teaching Jesus and... That's America. And it's believed that the church attendance will drop to 10% by the year 2050. Our population's growing. Our percentage going to church is declining. Are these the last days in times? I don't know. I'm just giving you a shot at what it looks like today. Church foreclosure. Say that with me. Church foreclosure. Did you know if I'd have given this message 15 years ago, that slide wouldn't be up here? It wasn't heard of. The Bible says the borrower is servant to the what? Do you believe that? Owe no man anything but to love him. How's your relationship with somebody when you owe them money or they owe you money? A little bit dicey sometimes. Church foreclosures. Church foreclosures hit record. As of March 12, 2012, banks are foreclosing on America's churches in record numbers. Since 2010, a record number of churches have been sold after defaulting on their loans, with 90% of those sales coming after lender-triggered foreclosure, according to the real estate information company CoStar Group. These church foreclosures have hit who? All denominations across the United States. The highest percentage have occurred in some states hit hardest by the home foreclosure crisis. California, Georgia. That's where I live. And Michigan. Axel Adams, an Atlanta, Georgia official, said that he has seen a tremendous increase in churches facing foreclosure. In the Atlanta metro area alone, over 100 churches are under some stage of foreclosure. And guys, that ain't but 500 miles, straight up 75. Out of this number, half have already been sold or taken over by lenders due to what? Foreclosures. Currently, more than 110 church buildings are up for sale in Atlanta, with more than 30 of them being sold through foreclosures. Let's take it somewhere else. An official with the United Methodist Conference said a third of our churches in the Northern Illinois area, United Methodist Conference, have what? Debt. Of that third, here was the amazing thing. Every church, every one of them, has a financial crisis in the first 7 years of having a mortgage. And that's with a big organization helping look out after them. We're seeing more stress in churches than we have in modern history, says Mark Holbrook, president and CEO of Evangelical Christian Credit Union of Brea, California, which specializes in lending to churches. Another church lender, Church Mortgage and Loan Corp. of Maitland, Florida, has foreclosed on at least 10 church properties in the last few years. Unable to sell any of them, the company didn't have the funds to pay the more than 400 bondholders the estimated $18 million that it owed them, says a company lawyer, Elizabeth Green. Church Mortgage and Loan Corporation filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in March. So not only the churches go under, the company goes under, and everybody invested in thinking, we're helping, we're giving money to churches, to loan to churches, they lost all their money. But praise Jesus. You hear me? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that craziness? I mean, come on, guys. Come on. Global snapshots. How y'all doing today? You think when I read all that I read this week, I was going to go out and borrow money? But it's taking too long, Pastor. Who said it's taking too long? I didn't make up time. Time is in His hands. Okay? Last time I checked, we're still debt-free. Last time I checked, Courtyard went in this week. Last time I checked, they're laying pavers. Last time I checked, they're doing columns real soon with stone on the front. Yep, and Roger just hollered up to me, a lot of churches in the area, in our area, are suffering. We've had some in our area taken over by other denominations totally because of their debt. They had to go outside and just give up their property. That's where we live, guys. This is the world. Y'all listening to me? What will faith look like in the end times? So knowing what the Bible says and what we've seen with our own eyes, what should I do? And I've got things real fast. I'm going to do them real fast. The Scripture's there. They can go on the web and check the Scripture sometime. But I'm going to pop it up. Number one, love people. Say that with me. Love people. 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 That's what you should do. Number two, don't judge people. Say that with me. Don't judge people. 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 Hey, even the preacher's house has problems. You understand? Who are we to stand in judgment over somebody? Boy, now I know what the stigma of being divorced feels like. Doesn't feel too nice. You understand? Does it, Jamie? Doesn't feel too nice. Because much of the church has looked down on people that have been divorced. Did y'all know churches did that or not? Or you think they just all like, oh, yes, yes, yes. No. Not knowing our situation, not knowing what happened, not knowing anything, we're just judged. And guess what? Now I join your ranks. I know what it feels like. You understand? But I still ain't quitting. How about you? Come on, that's what I'm talking about. Number three, be active in your church fellowship. What should I do? Be active. The Bible says, and every one of these scriptures talk about the end times, if you look at them. Every one of them. We're supposed to be active until the day of Jesus. You ought to roll your out of bed, butt out of bed on Sunday, whether you feel like it or not. Amen? You get here. Come on. Number four, remember Jesus' death and resurrection daily, especially through communion. We do this and show His death until He what? Comes again. Yeah. That should be a focus of ours all the time. Jesus died for me. Jesus rose for me. That ought to be our focus. We ought to be thinking like that, church, in the last days, all the time. You hear me? Number five, be committed to living for Christ. Be committed to living for Christ. Not accepting, well, no, well, other people, but you know, you be committed to living for the Lord. You do the right thing. Okay? You see other people screwing people over, you say, well, that's not going to be me. That's not going to be me. I'm going to do the right thing. Amen? Number six, make the things of God a priority in your thinking. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Set your thinking right. Let your thinking have a priority where God's a part of it. We're talking about church in the last days. What should we be like, guys? Come on. Number seven, keep short sin accounts. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, when He comes again, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at His coming. Keep short sin accounts. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to what? To to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That ought to be something regularly you and I do. We're confessing our sin. And we're not making excuses for it. Y'all listening? Number 8, share the message of Jesus with family and friends regardless of what the 40% said. It's our call. It's what we're called to do. It's why we have freedom in America, I believe. God's given us freedom in this country to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe that's why we still have an America. And we need to take advantage of that. Of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hitting even the garment that's been spotted by the flesh. That sounds like it's going to get down and dirty to me. You go out there and get them and reach them. Amen? They're worth it. Number 9, comfort and encourage other people. What should I be doing as a Christian in these end times? If these are the end times. Listen, I not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, which have died. You sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede or prevent those which are asleep or who have died. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Say that last verse with me. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We need to be comforting people, encouraging people, sharing the word with people, putting the word in our hearts so we can give it. But not to put them down, to lift them up, to help them. Number 10, patiently anticipate the return of Jesus. Amen. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your heart. Say it with me. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Was that a truckload of message today? Are you kidding me? Wow, that's crazy. Global snapshots. What will the church be like in the last days, end times? Try to give you a little idea. What's it like today? Where is my world? Where do I live? And what can I do? You can check all this out on the web, and if you're privy to doing that kind of stuff, and you can get some help. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for His Word today. Amen. Not my word, His Word. Amen. Thank you, Lord.